This recording is from the ACA World Convention that was held virtually in May of 2021. The ACA World Service Organization is grateful to all who contributed to making this convention happen, as well as to all who participated. ACA is an anonymous program. Please respect the anonymity of those that participated in the event. To learn more about the ACA Fellowship, please visit us online at adultchildren.org, where you can find information for newcomers, as well as free literature for download. Information about doing service in the ACA Fellowship can be found at acawso.org and acawsoec.org. To purchase literature or to make a Seventh Tradition contribution, please go to shop.adultchildren.org. We hope you enjoy the following recording from the 6th Annual World Convention, Global Recovery, in May 2021.
Just welcoming everyone to our 6th Annual ACA World Convention and our second convention that is fully online. And while the pandemic continues to be a challenging time for many of us, especially those of us in India, we see how events like the pandemic have brought us together in our ACA recovery, and for that we're grateful. This is the largest adult child meeting in the world, connecting our ACA members and our family of the heart all around the planet to heal each other as one united fellowship. And this convention is being hosted by the ACA World Services Organization, and our theme this year is Global Recovery. And so many of you have seen the other sessions that are included in the 27 sessions that are running over 30 hours around the clock and around the world. And as we are fully in the middle of our second day, I'm Joe H., an adult child from New Orleans, from Louisiana in USA, and I'm coordinating this session, which is called ACA Beyond Borders. So, of course, we ask that you rename yourself, like I have to do, to just your first name, last initial, and your country. And so please remember our spiritual principles of anonymity at this meeting. The workshop is being broadcast around the world and will be recorded on audio and distributed later also. We therefore ask that you do not record any part of this audio or video or pictures of the AWC. We also ask that you not share the link to this session. Each member should request their own access to the entire AWC. And this is so that they can each acknowledge their own commitment to protection, to protect their own individual anonymity for AWC attendees. And I think this is being well followed in the chats and meetings around the globe. About meeting safety, during the meeting, only the active members will be unmuted. The video, the microphone in the chat will generally be disabled for all viewers. And this is to ensure that a safe listening experience is had by all. Some meetings may ask that for your sharing, as we will do in this meeting. And we also have volunteers to do reading. To request to speak, please use the raised hand feature in the participant screen at that time when we do the sharing. You'll be unmuted when it's your turn to speak. The chat feature may be opened by viewers to post questions or otherwise interact with the meeting or in the meeting using this function. Please remember that what you hear in the meeting stays in the meeting. We don't talk about another person's story or experience with other people. So please respect the anonymity of all who share with us. And we do not crosstalk during sharing time. Crosstalk means referring to or commenting on what another person has said during the meeting. We also don't distract from the person sharing. Distracting means doing anything other than paying full attention to the person speaking in the online meeting. This also includes background noise, which can happen if you're not muted. So or if your video is switched on and there's activity around you. But a note, this meeting, by our agreement, we can talk about issues like culture, tribe, race, ethnicity, and those sorts of things, because we are going to talk about ACA Beyond Borders. So this is a safe meeting to talk about those things. We meet to share experiences we had as children growing up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional home. And that experience infected us then, and it affects us today. By practicing the 12 steps, by focusing on the solution, and by accepting a higher power of our own understanding, we find freedom from the effects of alcoholism and other family dysfunction. We identify with the problem and learn to live in the solution one day at a time. So at this point, we'll have Satish say the ACA Serenity Prayer in his home language. Immediately afterwards, we'll all unmute to join each other in saying it together in whatever language or way that calls your heart. So we'll take a deep breath, and Satish will lead us in the Serenity Prayer.
Thank you, Joe. So my name is Satish, grateful adult child. So I'll say Serenity Prayer in Punjabi. So Sajda Pratna Pramatma Samin Sajda Bakshini Savikar Karandi Jinna Lokanu Main Badalni Sakda Hosla Dena Hosekinu Badalan Lai Ati Samaj Deni E Janan Lai Ke Ho Ek Meha Dhanwad.
Thank you, Satish. And now we, if you'd like, you can join me unmuting your own mic, and we'll say the Serenity Prayer together. God,
the Serenity. God. Grant me the serenity
to accept
other things,
people that cannot change.
The wisdom to know that one is me.
All right. We are going to now read the laundry list. Satish, are you starting with the laundry list?
Yes, I can.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so I have it, the book. I can read from the book.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. I can read from the slide. Thank you. My name is Satish, grateful adult child. The laundry list. One, we became isolated and afraid of people and authority figures. Two, we became approval seekers and lost our identity in the process. Three, we are frightened by angry people and any personal criticism. Four, we either became alcoholics, marry them or both, or find another compulsive personality, such as a workaholic, to fulfill our sick abandonment needs. Five, we live life from the viewpoint of victims, and we are attracted by that weakness in our love and friendship relationships. Six, we have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility, and it is easier for us to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. This enables us not to look too closely at our own faults, etc. Seven, we get guilt feelings when we stand up for ourselves instead of giving in to others. Eight, we became addicted to excitement. Nine, we confuse love and pity and tend to love people we can pity and rescue. 10, we have stuffed our feelings from a traumatic childhood and have lost the ability to feel or express our feelings because it hurts so much. Denial. 11, we judge ourselves harshly and have a very low sense of self-esteem. 12, we are dependent personalities who are terrified of abandonment and will do anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to experience painful abandonment feelings, which we received from living with sick people who were never there emotionally for us. 13, alcoholism is a family disease, and we became para-alcoholics and took on the characteristics of that disease, even though we did not pick up the drink. 14, para-alcoholics are reactors rather than actors. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Satish. And here's the problem, as we find in our ACA.
Sorry, Joe, to interrupt. We are going to read either the problem or the laundry list.
Correct. So we'll read the problem.
Okay.
Yes. Many of us have found that we have several characteristics in common as a result of being brought up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional household. We've come to feel isolated and uneasy with other people, especially authority figures. To protect ourselves, we became people pleasers, even though we lost our own identity in the process. All the same, we would mistake any personal criticism as a threat. We either became alcoholics or practiced other addictive behavior ourselves, or married them, or both. Failing that, we found other compulsive personalities, such as a workaholic, to fulfill our sick need for abandonment. We lived life from the standpoint of victims, having a overdeveloped sense of responsibility, and we prefer to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. We got guilt feelings when we stood up for ourselves rather than giving in to others. Thus, we became reactors rather than actors, letting others take the initiative. We were dependent personalities, terrified of abandonment, willing to do almost anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to be abandoned emotionally. Yet, we kept choosing insecure relationships because they matched our childhood relationship with alcoholic or dysfunctional parents. These symptoms of the family disease of alcoholism and other dysfunction made us co-victims, those who take on the characteristics of the disease without necessarily ever having taken a drink. We learned to keep our feelings down as children and kept them buried as adults. As a result of this conditioning, we confuse love with pity, tending to love those we could rescue, and even more self-defeating. We became addicted to excitement in all our affairs, preferring constant upset to workable relations. This is a description, not an indictment. And so the solution, Sunyana?
Thank you, Joe. I'm Sunyana, adult child. The solution. The solution is to become your own loving parent. As ACA becomes a safe place for you, you will find freedom to express all the hurts and fears you have kept inside and to free yourself from the shame and blame that are carryovers from the past. You will become an adult who is imprisoned no longer by childhood reactions. You will recover the child within you, learning to accept and love yourself. The healing begins when we risk moving out of isolation. Feelings and buried memories will return. By gradually releasing the burden of unexpressed grief, we slowly move out of the past. We learn to reparent ourselves with gentleness, humor, love, and respect. This process allows us to see our biological parents as the instruments of our existence. Our actual parent is a higher power, whom some of us choose to call God. Although we had alcoholic or dysfunctional parents, our higher power gave us the 12 steps of recovery. This is the action and work that heals us. We use the steps. We use the meetings. We use the telephone. We share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. We learn to restructure our sick thinking one day at a time. When we release our parents from responsibility for our actions today, we become free to make healthful decisions as actors, not reactors. We progress from hurting to healing to helping. We awaken to a sense of wholeness we never knew was possible. By attending these meetings on a regular basis, you will come to see parental alcoholism or family dysfunction for what it is, a disease that infected you as a child and continues to affect you as an adult. You will learn to keep the focus on yourself in the here and now. You will take responsibility for your own life and supply your own parenting. You will not do this alone. Look around you and you will see others who know how you feel. We will love and encourage you no matter what. We ask you to accept us just as we accept you. This is a spiritual program based on action coming from love. We are sure that as the love grows inside you, you will see beautiful changes in all of your relationships, especially with God, yourself, and your parents.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. And so now we'll go ahead and take a look at the 12 steps Satish, would you read those for us?
Yes, so I can. So 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over the effects of alcoholism or other family dysfunction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of taking these steps, we try to carry this message to others who still suffer and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Satish. Thank you very much. And now we'll take a look here at the 12 traditions. The 12 traditions, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on ACA unity. Number two, our group conscious, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God is expressed in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for membership in ACA is a desire to recover from the effects of growing up in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional family. Four, each group is autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or ACA as a whole. We cooperate with all other 12-step groups. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. And six, an ACA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the ACA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And seven, each ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, adult children of alcoholics should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. And nine, ACA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, adult children of alcoholics has no opinion on outside issues, hence the ACA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, TV, radio, TV, films, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation for all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And so we are now going to just do a little introduction. You know, you may have related to our readings. Even if there's no apparent alcoholism or addiction in your home, this is common because dysfunction can occur in a family without the presence of addiction, and we welcome you all. In the beginning, many of us could not recognize or accept that some of our current attitudes or behaviors result from some experience related to alcoholism or dysfunction in our childhood. We behave as adult children, which means we bring self-doubt and fear learned in childhood to our adult interactions. By attending meetings regularly and working the ACA program, we come to know and begin to act as our true selves. And so the This panel is on Global Beyond Borders. And of course, I'm Joe H., and a grateful recovering adult child serving in the Global Members Committee. And the Global Members Committee provides a support to ACA fellowships outside the US, Canada, and Europe in their attempts to become self-supporting as they grow. And so we facilitate equity, universal inclusiveness, accessibility, and affordability of literature and other ACA recovery resources as part of Tradition 5. And we honor Tradition 4. Each group is autonomous for all the countries that we support. And we partner with various other committees in WSO and with our fellowships around the world to unify our ACA recovery resources. We're pleased to sponsor 6 workshops at this 2021 AWC. So it's my honor to introduce the at this global AWC panel, Sunyana Satish M, who will address beginning recovery at AWC and finding a home in ACA. We'll hear from our other members as well. We have 2 additional panelists that will help us to talk about what does it mean to go global beyond borders. And then I'll share a little bit about my personal recovery story and my experience. So at this point, we'll start with, and let me stop screen sharing. Thanks. And unmute Sunyana to share.
Thanks. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone joining us from all over the globe. My name is Sunyana M, and I'm 24 years old. I am an adult child, and I am grateful to be here today speaking to all of you about my experience, strength, and hope. I grew up in a dysfunctional family, and it began even several years before I was born. I have struggled growing up and never felt like I quite fit in anywhere. Growing up with a narcissistic mother was not easy. On top of this, I was also bullied at school for being of a different background than the rest of my classmates. I felt isolated, insecure, and alone. I was also very obese, and my mother's dysfunction did not help that fact. She would always buy me clothes that were smaller so I could, quote, lose weight and eventually fit into them, unquote. Or she would do the opposite and get me new clothes in her size, knowing that I wouldn't be able to fit into them, and she could eventually have those new clothes. I also have a younger brother. I do not have a relationship with him either. I have come to terms with my mom and her narc qualities. She put my brother, my dad, and I all against each other to create chaos. This is where my relationship with my brother dissipated completely. As soon as he left the family home at age 17, I was angry that he abandoned us. But I am grateful to him as well. If he did not make that step to leave, I may still be living under an arc cloud surrounded with nothing but darkness. If it wasn't for that move, I could still be there, stuck with no way out. The faster I would try to run away, the more I felt like I was sinking back into my mother's control. I have been a part of the ACA recovery program for 2 years, 6 months, and 2 days as of today, May 2nd, 2021. And I'm grateful to have this program under my belt. As the slogan says, attraction, not promotion, I too was attracted to this program. In 2019, my dad and I attended the ACA convention in Sweden, and it was such an amazing experience. I was still new to the program and didn't quite have all the terminology or tools of recovery yet. It was overwhelming, but I felt comfortable and felt like I was welcome. It was almost as if I felt like I was home. You know, I felt I was able to share. I felt like I was, you know, being listened to, although I was most likely probably the youngest member there. I felt I was learning from everybody's experiences. I could relate to people who have been in the program for 50 years. There was this one workshop that I attended that really resonated with me, and it had to do all about your inner child. The gentleman who was leading the workshop, he was transporting us, his fellow travelers, back in time to your childhood days. He told us to take a deep breath and to close our eyes. Clear your mind and imagine you are on a train, slowly moving backwards into the past. What do you see? Are there happy memories? Are they sad memories? The speaker got us to think back to a happy childhood memory and a sad childhood memory. Your inner child is your baby and you have to protect them. My childhood was a very strict and rigid environment. I didn't have much freedom. Although most of my childhood memories that I remember and recall of are happy memories, I feel there's a lot more negative memories that I'm remembering as an adult. And I'm still dealing with these issues today. There was no freedom, as I said. I wasn't allowed to do anything. I wasn't allowed to wear the clothes that I wanted growing into a young teenager. As my body was growing, I felt my mom trying to reach forward to get more and more control over my life and my experiences. I wasn't allowed to learn new things, meet new people. I wasn't allowed to get a job when I was 16 because then I would gain experience in the real world and I would know how it really is. I would see it through my own eyes versus seeing it through hers. I felt like I was a robot. I was raised to be the perfect Indian daughter for my mom, the one who is obedient, the one who listens to her mom when she's spoken to, the one who doesn't talk back, who doesn't speak, feel, share, nothing. I didn't feel like I had oxygen in that house. It wasn't a home. It was a prison. And it was really hard for me growing up. I was bullied and didn't have many friends. My self-esteem was nothing, zero, and I had no motivation to do anything. Although my mother kept us very busy with several activities, she had us practicing piano. I've been piano, soccer, band, school 8 hours a day, come home and do all the chores of the house. Although she also had several people she would hire to do the chores of the house because the jobs were too many for 24 hours. But it felt like she was forcing me to grow up. At the same time, she wanted me to stay little, so it was easy for her to control me. When I was 19, I left that house for the first time, and I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any job experience. I didn't have any money. People thought in my class that I was so well off because my parents were rich. Oh, your dad does this and your mom does this. You guys live in a nice big house. You must have a perfect life. But that's not what it was like. It was not perfect. Maybe on people on the outside, maybe they see my life as perfect, but it was not perfect. Everybody has their flaws. Everybody has their experiences with their family. I just felt I couldn't be myself. I didn't have a voice, and it was physically showing in my face as a 10-year-old girl being almost 170 pounds, 5'0", 4'9". And it just went downhill from there. When I left my mom's house for the first time when I was 19, I dropped maybe 65 pounds within a month. And I thought I would never be skinny. I would never be pretty. And I'm still 140 pounds now. I'm still 5'1", but I'm happy with myself now. And I love myself. And I'm allowing myself to be gentle to myself, to take my self-care when I need it. I am allowed to say no if I don't want to do something. I have the power to be my own person. I can still learn new things. You know, no matter how old you are, you can always be learning new things. And I'm grateful to be able to share this experience with all of you. I recently published, I have two publications that I've sent off that have been published at my university through their website. And one of the stories I published, actually both of them were related to the narc abuse that I've experienced. And one gentleman on Facebook approached me and he said, I read your article and I really admire you for speaking up and talking about your abuse, because I was afraid to speak up and talk about it. I didn't know how to bring it up. I was forced into counseling several times, but I didn't know what was the right thing to say. What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be? You know, thinking back to all the experiences I've had, I feel like, am I doing something wrong? Am I living life to the standard that my mother has set so many years ago? She wants, you know, me to have a good high-paying job, which means I have to have a lot of schooling, which means you have to have money for schooling, but you need a job to have money. And there was always conditions. Her love was always based on conditions. I felt like I was never enough for her, which is why I no longer speak to her. It's been 2.5 years and it still haunts me. I can still hear her voice in my head. She is the critical parent inside my head. And sometimes I feel that my loving parent isn't enough. Is my loving parent strong enough to protect inner child Sunanna? But I'm finding as the days pass, sometimes some days are easier than others. I'm able to take it one day at a time. I don't have to overwhelm myself. If there are triggers in my life, I can use those triggers, you know, and learn from that and move forward instead of moving backwards. And progress, you know, perfection is not the goal. It's the progress and the journey that takes you to where you need to be. And some things are meant to be and others are not. And so be it. You can't let it bother you. You know, many things at my own workplace, I work in healthcare and it's very difficult. There's so many clients and patients who request certain things and put the blame on you on, oh, the wait time is 2 hours. Oh, I need a COVID vaccine right now. And oh, I'm not 60 yet, blah, blah, blah. But we have no control over those things. We don't have control over people, places, or things. If any of those three aspects, those, you know, if a person bothers you or if a place bothers you or something bothers you, you can't change them, but you can change you. Right. And I always try to not take things personally if it comes to that point. And I have to understand that the person who is trying to hurt me is hurting more than me. That's why they're hurting me, because they're reacting.
Sunanna, may I ask you a question about your relationship with Global ACA? How did you get connected to Global ACA?
What do you mean connected to Global ACA?
Well, how did you come to know about ACA or go to any of these WSO functions?
Well, I was first attracted to the program through my dad. He was also working the program, and I was attracted to how it affected him. It changed him, and I saw those changes in him. I didn't have as close of a relationship as I do with him now. And, you know, he's shown me that there can be change and that you can break the cycle of intergenerational trauma, and it starts with yourself. And I guess it all really started with him.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your share. Thanks so much for your being willing to share. I think you're an inspiration for many, many of our younger mm-hmm. members, and certainly for young women. And thank you very much. Your dad that you keep mentioning, Satish. Hi, Satish. So is it first and second generation sort of thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Satish, did you want to share a little bit?
Sure, yeah.
And then we'll give you a warning at 3 minutes.
Yeah, how much time do I have, Joe?
If you would take 12 minutes to share, and okay. Then we'll see if there are questions for either
okay,
you yeah. or your daughter. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Joe. So my name is Satish, grateful adult child. So I thought, you know, I'll just share with the, so I've been doing some non-dominant hand work. So this is the 15th drawing I've done with my inner child. This was done yesterday. I completed during the workshop. So I think this kind of highlights my life. So before ECA, my life was black and white. Like this color that I'm wearing is new since ECA. Before I always wore black and, you know, I just wanted to blend in with the world. I didn't want to be seen as a person. I think that now I know goes with my role as a lost child. Because I thought I was not important. I thought, oh, I like what? I survived on crumbs and all that, right? So, but now I want to be seen and heard. I want to speak my truth. I want everyone to know my story because it is unique. I am special and precious. And so I think this is actually kind of, and as I was drawing, this was actually during a talk I was attending on healing by being creative. Somebody from Poland, they were doing their talk. As I was drawing this, I've been working on this for last month with my inner child. So this is actually my sort of life in a way. And then this is where I hit the bottom and the light entered me. And then everything turned colorful, right? So this is what my life, ACA, has done for me. And I think before ACA, I was like this. Everything was closed off. And again, I thought, you know, I didn't really matter and life was just going by. I was doing things for others. I didn't exist. I didn't have my own identity. And this rule of don't talk, it was so ingrained in the family. I think I'm sure my ancestors followed that rule of don't talk, don't talk, don't speak your truth. Like I thought, why was it so hard? Why was it so hard? Why is it so hard to speak your truth? Because it's been running down the generations. And then I'm glad that I'm really grateful that with me, this has finally broken. So the spell has been broken. And I'm glad that I am sharing this platform with my daughter. And I was telling her, I said, you know what? For you to have the courage to share this platform with an authority figure, with your dad, that is like you're making history just by that. Even if you say nothing, you are making history just by doing that. I thought that's actually just an amazing thing, even for you to say, you know, yes, I will speak. I said, ACA has given me courage to let you say, you speak your truth. I said, if I didn't have ACA behind me, I might not have that courage. So being a, you know, dad from India, and I might not have this courage to let you speak the truth, but AC has given me. I said, you are your own person. You're speaking your story. I'm speaking my story. So I said, you're on your own. So I said, don't worry about me. And I said, you know, you have, I said, we are both going there as adult children who need healing and who need help. I said, you're not going to represent me. I'm not going to represent you. So that's, I said, make sure it's clear. I said, you say whatever is on your heart and mind. I said, don't worry about it. So I think, so I'm glad, you know, that, so ACA has given me that. So I think the other thing you see in the back in my bedroom is what my inner child wanted to do. So the butterflies and drawing. So I took some painting lessons, finally listened to my inner child. So I drew those. And the other thing I think I wanted to say was, you know, so I've been part of this global, you know, committee and for the last 2 years, and with Joe and Suvi and a lot of other members. And I'm also part of HNI committee as well. And I started a meeting here in Canada. We went to a fourth year. And because I needed a meeting, so physical meeting we started, it's been on Zoom. And half of our members come from other parts of the world, because on Zoom. And I think, so personally, I think this global beyond borders, the reason, so this is really close to my heart, because before ECA, as I've said, that I didn't really have an identity. And since coming to ECA, what I've seen is, I've seen acceptance. And in this family, you know, like I've been to ACA World Convention in Sweden. And before that, I also went to the one in Toronto. I think those two were the biggest reunions I've been to, right? The family reunion. So I think these were the families. I didn't really know any of these people beforehand, but I felt at home. I felt accepted. The sense of connection and compassion and the warmth, unconditional love that I felt in those rooms and the convention is just unbelievable. And that's what I feel, you know, that I think the ACA has dissolved all these boundaries. And so it doesn't really matter. I think that for me, like I go to these meetings being person of color and, you know, it doesn't matter where I come from. I have always felt accepted in the rooms. And I think I feel as a human being, I have grown since coming to ACA. I think the people who know me from before, like I think I would have never ever done something like this, like to speak like this. I would have never done because I didn't think I was good enough. It's all because of ACA. It's all because you guys have given me the unconditional love. You have given me the courage to speak. And that's what I was telling my daughter. I said, this is actually a place where you can speak your truth. I said, nobody is going to shame you. That is for sure. I said, this is a place where you can speak your truth. And that's what I felt all along. And so I've shared, you know, my experience, strength and hope and a few meetings and, you know, it doesn't really matter because my story is unique. Nobody tells me that, why did you say this? Or it's not like that. It doesn't really matter because my story is unique. And the other thing is, you know, I think as we, our solution says that learning to reparent ourselves with, you know, learning to reparent ourselves with humor, right? And love and respect and gentleness. I think that's all I'm practicing. I think the only thing, so I think the gentleness, that's what summarizes the ACA program for me. I am gentle to myself since coming into ACA. I am gentle to my adult children. So I have a son as well. So my son is younger, although they have their issues, but I have an amazing relationship with both of them. And I stay out of their relationship because it's not my business. So they have to figure out what's going on between them. And, you know, the ACA has taught me how to do that. And so again, you know, I think it's just like I can talk all day, but that's all I want to say, right? So I really owe my life to this program. It's amazing. I think if there are any newcomers, all I can say is please keep coming back. This program definitely works, but you do have to work it. So you have to attend the meetings. If there is anything service related, you can do service. And, you know, keep coming back, connect with the people in the program. And again, you know, like I can't say enough about this program. So in July this year, it'll be 4 years for me in this program. This is one of my pictures I also wanted to share. This is one when I was 11. And so there are only two pictures. This, and I have another picture. It was taken at one of the weddings. That's when I was 5. So there are only two pictures of me. And I'm going to be 51 years old this year. And I celebrate every single day, every single moment of my life. I'm living my life to the fullest. I've spent, you know, this year I live in the northern British Columbia, where, you know, we have a lot of snow and stuff. I spent 3 months snowboarding. I was snowboarding every week, at least one day a week. And I've reduced my work hours, you know, because I was a workaholic. And so I'm living my life because this program has taught me how to live my life. I'm in the moment and it's just unbelievable. And the life keeps getting better and better. So that's my share. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll pass with that. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Satish and Sunyana. I wanted to leave some time for questions, because as you know, this is where we're going to kick off a global discussion of what does it mean? What does it look like? How do you envision us going global? And so, but we have so much interest. I wanted to hear from John O. in Alaska and Stephen M. Would each of you share for just a minute or so? Do you have a timer, a way to time yourself? John? Okay, unmute. John O.
John, could you raise your hand, please?
John, raise your hand so that Sean can find you. John O. from San Francisco, SF. Then Alaska from US and Stephen M. from the US. We'll just have them share briefly. So you're unmuted, John.
Great to be here. So super happy to hear that share from daughter and father, and just amazing. We want the boundaries in our life to be in pleasant places, and we know in families the dysfunction, that's why we're here, right? And to be able to bring that into the community, all that baggage, and to find a safe place to be able to share with one another. And I came into this program about 4 years ago as a result of me hitting my bottom as it related to family dysfunction and my family, and happened to be my daughter. What I realized is what you were saying, Satish, was how do I become a safe, loving father? And I found that answer in these rooms, and I'm practicing borders and boundaries in that relationship. So it's super grateful to be here and to learn and to be a part of this wonderful time together. Thank you.
Great. John, hey, listen, I have a question about the difference between borders and boundaries as we go global. Have you reflected on that at all? And how do you, Do you have a global community that you're working with?
Yes, it's interesting, the word borders and boundaries. In one of my one-on-one fellow traveler relationships in one of the countries, often he refers to boundaries as borders. And I refer to them as borders as boundaries. And when it comes to boundaries, it's like I have boundaries for myself. And when it comes to borders, it seems like it's just from my experience with borders, it's kind of a way that people, places, or things, or countries, or create, or people create this false, a border is kind of like a false self, and a boundary is like a true self. That's kind of how I break it down.
That's really interesting, because I, Helen W., who had a session earlier, talked about borders and boundaries with me and got me thinking about this whole issue of how do we go global? Are we really beyond bound borders, since we don't control the borders? And the borders have been created by politics and outside issues, and actually make a lot of our carrying the message complicated. Thanks so much for your share, John. That the other communities you're talking about are in Africa, is that right?
Yes, I've been, of all places, my higher power has brought me to Soweto, Johannesburg. I'm working with men there. And I also have many different countries like Israel and Armenia and Ireland, various countries like this at this time. But I'm excited to be able to continue to cross borders through this program into the hearts of many people, and knowing that boundaries are what's going to make those relationships work.
Yes. Thank you, John. Alaska?
Hi. Wow. I'm kind of, John, I think you're somebody that somebody else was telling me about, somebody that goes to South Africa often. And anyways, yeah, I fully think that we should support people who do, people who are in the US who do happen to travel to other countries, to support them and give them the materials and resources in order to be able to spread the message of ACA to other countries where it is difficult to often get books sent there or mailed there or even just get them at all. So thank you. Thank you, John, for speaking up. I'm not really sure. So one of the things that Zoom has done definitely has taken away the idea of borders. I mean, not just, just worldwide. I go to meetings all over the world. And the one thing that we all share is that we are all adult children, and I've found absolute and complete acceptance and identification in pretty much every meeting I've ever gone to, no matter where it's based, who is there. Meetings that I go to are, the members are from literally all over the planet, and it's amazing. And so, for me, anything that can be done to further bringing the message to as many places as possible is kind of what I'm about. So, yeah, thanks, Joe, for the opportunity. So, looking forward to people's questions.
Right. So do you speak any other languages?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I do not.
Yes, I know, but that's okay, because one of the issues that we're having is is translations, getting the literature to other languages in the same impactful way that it's written in English, because it has to be sufficiently impactful for us to come out of denial, but atraumatic in the sense that we all know that we're together. And so are there any special focus meetings that you go to?
I mean, there are POC meetings that I go to. There's a new AAPI South Asian, AAPI Asian American and Pacific Islanders meeting that has started. I could put the information for that into the chat if anybody's interested. You know, there's currently conversations going on, and there's going to be a town hall coming up on the subject of only meetings, which POC meetings or LGBTQIA2+ meetings also fall into. And it's really not, you know, only meetings, the question about it is really not about those meetings, but for me the fear of only meetings is the same as having the fear of a POC. It really doesn't make sense. And what I would like, you know, for people who do not, you know, who are of other populations or underrepresented groups to just, be a part of the conversation is what I would say, because it's really necessary. To your point about the translation, actually in the previous panel, there was a woman who is Japanese from Japan, but living in the US, and she specifically said that when she was doing inner child or reparenting meetings, it didn't, you know, she didn't hear the voice of her inner child because it was in English, and her inner child doesn't speak English or understand English. And so she needed to find meetings that were in Japan or in Japanese in order for her to be able to speak to her inner child. So I think that's important. But, and also translation is important. And actually the other panel going on right now is on literature translation in the other room.
Well, thank you so much.
And one more point I'm going to make is that, yes,
go ahead.
is that the ballots were not translated into Spanish this year, which I think is a major, dereliction of duty by the WSO. Yes. You know, so I mean that's one way of like cutting out, you know, I mean, a huge chunk of the world. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. And this is exactly why we're starting this conversation about what does it look like for ACA to go global, and translations and what we call special focus meetings, where people can get together with other people that speak the same language or look like them or come from that culture, can get together. And we discover things like our inner child speaks the language from the old country that grandma used to speak. It's really very interesting. So Stephen, do you have a moment? Can you speak a little bit for a couple of minutes about your journey and what is your vision for ACA going global? And that's Stephen M. Would you raise your hand so so Sean can find you? Okay, good.
I'm here. Okay. Let me start with this. I don't feel safe here. I had a long chat with Joe before this meeting. I wasn't sure what this meeting was about, but I don't feel safe here. And I've been attending the ACA convention since yesterday, and I haven't felt safe. I haven't felt seen. I haven't felt represented. And that's just the truth of my experience over the last couple of days. I found ACA 2 or 3 months ago, and I was in a very, very bad place. I'm 15 years in 12-step recovery programs, so I understand 12-step recovery programs. I understand the history of them. I have dedicated a lot of my time to the recovery process. However, it was miraculous to me that I found myself in such a painful place, and I had no idea that there was this type of insight and solution available. And that's in 15 years, not even hearing about ACA. So if I was starting recovery for the first time, what I would be saying to myself was, you've been here 2 months. You have not earned the right to speak or have a view. However, because of my experience in recovery, over since 2005, I am experienced enough to know that that's not the case. That's not true. We all have a right to speak. We all have a right to talk. We all have a right to share our experience. So all I want to say, and there isn't much time, is that from what I've seen, and from my experience as a person of color, or a Black person, or an African person, or a Jamaican person, or a mixed race person, or an English person, all of which I can claim as an identity, right? All of which. That just in the same way that I was hearing in the agnostics meeting yesterday, how they claimed the right to question the ACA Red Book and claim the right to be able to rewrite it, to restructure it, to represent them as a group. And let's not forget, agnostics were represented in the original Big Book. There's a chapter dedicated to the agnostics, okay? However, you know, they, and it was very interesting. I don't know if there was anybody on that panel, but the similarities to the reason that I'm here and wanted to be here are just quite amazing, you know? You know, so my family dysfunction, our family dysfunction, alcoholism, addiction, is directly linked to a large degree to what to society's wide dysfunction of society as a whole and its inability to see me, to hear me, to acknowledge me. And this is why, and this is one of the reasons why I continue to suffer and I continue to be traumatized and re-traumatized and denied, and to use the language of today, gaslit. Okay. So I was hoping that this panel today would be an opportunity to talk about how we begin to do that, how we start that process of representing ourselves. And I speak for myself. You know, on this panel, there is only a small percentage of us represented, right? But let me tell you, there is a global community of people of color meetings, of Black meetings, of LGBTQ meetings, all which have exploded as a result of COVID. And so it is undeniable, it's undeniable that the current recovery, 12-step recovery programs in general, have not included and represented, yes, all of us, you know, and that results in the feeling of me coming on here saying I don't feel safe. Without safety, there is no
recovery,
means for us to recover, you know. And we're all suffering, you know. As Joe, I heard Joe say, you know, I am victim and the victimizer. I am oppressed and the oppressor. I am the perpetrator and the perpetratee, or the one perpetrated against. It's a confusion internally. It's a confusion externally. All is linked. All is connected. However, when I don't see myself, when I don't hear myself, and having the experience to recognize that, I'm not loving myself. I'm not loving myself. I'm not loving this child that you see behind me, that I just put here in the camera. You know, this child, this is the lost child. This is the child that's been abandoned. This is the child that is in hiding and it has been in hiding even in my brief time in ACA. So I've written so many things, but there's no time. But we need all of us to feel safe, all of us to feel safe. No more tiptoeing around, no more, trying to play to the needs of others and the fragility of others, okay? And if it means that we need to develop a sort of a sense of self-sufficiency and self-autonomy or whatever you want to call it, then I guess that's how it's got to be, you know. But let's not forget that it should all come from a loving place. It should all come from a loving place, you know. So it's funny, I love this yogi tea. And I'm always drinking the yogi tea with the messages. And the message that was in this tea that I made for this meeting was, the purpose of life is to know, love, and trust yourself. Be yourself. And I'm just trying to be myself, and I deserve to be myself and not feel afraid to be myself anymore. Okay, thank you for
thank you. Sharing, Joe. Thank you, Stephen. Wow. Thank you for having the courage to speak your truth and to talk about something that's coming up throughout the global fellowship of ACA. People from other cultures don't feel safe. And so as we grow and carry the message, which is our primary purpose, is to carry the message, as we go global, this is the new frontier for ACA. How do we make everyone feel safe enough to talk about their trauma? So for example, if I had said, no, I got to interrupt you there. We don't talk about, but in this particular meeting, everything is safe to talk about. And so it feels like we're out of time, but we're not. We're starting a conversation that's going to go on for 6 months at least. Every month, every other week, we're going to have another chance for everyone from any culture to say how do they envision ACA going beyond borders? Or another way of saying it is, what do we need to add to chapter 17? Chapter 17 says that ACA is a global recovery. It's an international fellowship. And so the spiritual principles of going global, we need to learn to how we're going to spell those out and how we're going to act those out. What has to happen at WSO to enable the spiritual principles? What has to happen in the fellowship to live out the principles that allow us to go global? So this is where we wanted to open up and take questions. Gosh, who has a questions? And so what happens is, when we have our next workshop, our next mini workshop on ACA Beyond Borders, this is when we're going to flip the panel, and everyone who came to listen, we're going to listen to you. And we have a website where you can actually, if you wake up in the middle of the night and have a thought for how ACA can go global, you can just send your thoughts by typing them in to the website. You can attend the workshops. You can write an article for the Comline, the new Comline. And we'll start a discussion on what did it look like? What has to happen? So for me, for example, I think equity is one of the things that has to happen for ACA to go global. And so a book, a big book, let's say it costs $30 in the United States, but $30 in Mozambique is a year's salary. So to go global, we may have to break the big book up into smaller books that can be shipped and sold to people who are living at or around $5 a day. Most of the people in the globe who need the program are poor. So that's just one example of how we can go global. Perhaps we need to use the radio and have everyone read in German, in Swedish, in Spanish, parts of the big book, as a taste of ACA. Well, we'll talk about it, but for now we're looking for questions from Joe, the audience. Yeah.
So Joe, there are a couple of people have raised their hands.
Okay, go ahead, Satish.
John C is the first one.
We're gonna limit these shares to a minute. Okay. And because there will be time, Yeah.
Sean, maybe we could. So John C is first.
John C, I think you can unmute yourself, can you? I've asked him to unmute.
Okay, great. I'm unmuted now. So thank you. Very, very moving to hear all the contributions. I'm John C. I'm an adult child. I'm one of the co-creators of the online London POC meeting. And also the WhatsApp group, which is independent, but seeing that has brought together so many people from around the world. I really hear what everyone is saying. I'm thinking that, you know, in Tradition 5, and I've put traditions into the chat, you know, how do we carry the message? And, you know, all this nonsense about, you know, tradition, it's three that everyone has to go to a meeting. I mean, this is very 20th century. But also, you know, Bill W. was a pioneer for, you know, for inclusivity, bringing people of color into all white ACA meetings, huge LGBT movements that AA sort of fostered as well. There's history books about this. So I think my sort of question is around, you know, is it a formal committee, the Global Beyond Boundaries, and is there regular meetings? Maybe, you know, how do we bring it together? And then finally, in China and Hong Kong, this, you know, which I've been to some of the club rooms, and they're all white mostly. You know, how on earth do you bring the residual recovery to a couple of places that are very, very deeply traumatized by an intergenerational trauma? Thank you for listening. I'd welcome any thoughts on that.
Thank you, John. Yes, the question is how to make people safe in our various meetings around the world on Zoom, and how do we go global without going face to face so that we can have hybrid meetings. So there are other hands up, and that's Marion. Can we unmute?
Joe, I'm going in order of the hands that I have on the screen. Perfect. Next is Kim.
Thank you so much. My name is Kim. I'm in Seattle, Washington. As the conversation, I don't have questions, but I just like to put some things out to see what people think about them. One is about guardrails. What I've been learning is that if I stay in my lane, I do well. And talking about borders, I don't think about borders and boundaries. I think about my guardrails and in a couple of ways. One is that if I'm driving and I run up against the guardrails, I'm going to be hurt. But the other thing that I think about is the guardrails that exist in the United States, where if I am driving, there are guardrails all through my life to keep me in my place. And so when we're thinking about the borders, we might want to think about the guardrails and the borders and the boundaries that are up in the United States that keep people like me from being safe and healthy. And that one of the places that ACA might want to look at is the Black community. Second thought is, what about the idea that I speak with people who speak originally Portuguese, Chinese, and Farsi. When they hear stuff in their own language, it's very different. The books, the meaning of the words is different. Language can be used, weaponized too, when people speak their own language and the other person in the room doesn't understand, which is one of the reasons why I am learning Spanish. This conversation is deep and multi-layered.
Multi-layered. Thank you, Kim. Thank you.
All right, next will be Anissa.
Hi, I have to turn my camera off while I speak, otherwise it's all choppy. It's just my connection. So my question is, you know, had it not been for the POC recovery community, last summer, I was ready and wholeheartedly to just abandon recovery all in itself, because I couldn't go into places. Well, when I went into places and I shared how terrified I was being a Black woman raising a Black son, as it related to my recovery, I was dismissed and told I couldn't talk about that. So I feel like there's a lot of anti-racist movements going on, and my concern is that it's a fad, right? And it's going to come and it's going to go. So my question is there any kind of like accountability or follow-up that can be provided to us? An example of this would be like at my college, the dean sent out, they did this whole anti-racist movement, right? And he pinpointed the things that he was going to take care of. And that was his commitment to us. And he sends a follow-up and he tells us how it's going. So I'm wondering, can we at some point expect that from, I don't know, whoever?
Yes. Yes. This really dovetails into John's first question also, John C., which is this effort is on the part of the fellowship, not some committee in WSO. I'm talking to the fellowship. And so the conversation is with the fellowship, with fathers and daughters and young moms. And then we will hold ourselves accountable because this is our program. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Anissa.
All right, Joe, we have two more hands up, and then there's one person in the chat box who has asked to share as well. So just a heads up with time, we're getting close. So the last three people that are gonna ask questions, might want to keep it short. So Tamara or Tamara, you are next. Sorry if my pronunciation is wrong.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm very related. In fact, I found it quite upsetting, but good in a good way, of a release of tears, of what Stephen was saying, that you don't feel safe. And when the whole, because I grew up in a very multicultural area in London. It was mainly Afro-Caribbean and Turkish. And I now teach in that same area. And the Black Lives Movement was massive for us. And every time I see someone else being killed for some stupid reason by the police, it really affects me. But I feel I can't share that. That's my trauma. I'm traumatized by that. The kids that I teach are traumatized by that. And I feel I can't go into an ACA meeting and talk about that. I feel, I don't know if it's me, if I feel guilty for saying about racism, and I don't want people to feel bad. But it's such a massive part of my life. My husband was stabbed and left. He left to die when he was 15 because he's Asian. And this trauma, it's not just about trauma of what my parents did to me. They had lots of racism when they came to this country and they couldn't face it. So, and they had nervous breakdowns. They became mentally ill. The race was a very much massive part, and a lot. And my mother was given the wrong drugs. I know this is not a question, but how... Somebody mentioned earlier you're not allowed to bring politics.
Correct.
In another meeting.
Yes.
And to me, but race is politics. That's part of me. And I thought, well, if I can't say, am I not allowed to talk about that? Is that out of the question? So how are we allowed to bring that and not feel like we're breaking the rules? I always think I don't want to upset people.
Yes.
And I just feel... Just what Stephen said and what the others have shared, just seeing all of you, people of colour, it's just like, whew, it's massive. So I'm going to keep it. So I don't know how we continue this conversation, so I can keep seeing people like you and I feel safe.
Yes. So we'll put that in the chat. John, the question in the chat was about time. We'll have the next gathering at a time that's better for the rest of the world, and we'll rotate through time zones. Our last share will be for a minute. Mary, yeah.
Sorry, there are two more, Joe. There's Marion, and there's one in the chat box that requested to share because she doesn't use the raise hand feature.
Okay, thank you. Marion?
Hi. Sorry, yes. Hi, I'm Marion from South Africa. And whilst my colour might not necessarily make me appear like I'm marginalised, I'm a woman in a country that still treats women like property to a large extent. Not everybody and not every aspect of this culture, but this is a country where violence against women is endemic. Everywhere, all the time. And whilst, it's something you said about understanding the challenges that are different. And one of the things that's worried me a lot was when I came to 12-step fellowships, some of the other 12-step fellowships I was exposed to, there was a lot of cross-talking, advice giving, and shaming. I actually remember saying, like, I was being shamed into doing things like making amends to an abusive parent. That was really scary. This fellowship became the one place where I could protect my inner child, and I was not told to go and make amends to the father who beat me within an inch of my life day after day, year after year. And I was taught gentleness.
So let me ask you, Marion, how does this relate to how we are going to envision ACA going more global than it did?
I wanted to say the thing that's taught me how to keep myself safe and how in going forward to keep meetings and interactions safe. I actually discovered it in the Big Red Book, and it's become something I'm passionate about, and that is those commitments to service. But it teaches me not just, sorry, it's such an emotional subject for me, because those commitment to service readings changed my life. And if you don't know them, go to page 601 of the Big Red Book and read them.
Thank you.
Because it says, as number two, confirming that our process is one of inclusion and not exclusion. Allowing special sensitivity to the viewpoint of the minority. It goes on, but it's just when I practice that, when I live by that, and when I'm in meetings that operate by those commitment to service readings, I feel safe like I've never felt safe before in my life.
Thank you, Mary.
We can make sure our connection is done like that.
Yes.
Then I think we can connect with each other in a way that is safe and respectful and inclusive. And with that, I'll pause.
Thank you so much, Marion, because the answer is in the Big Book for our communities as well as our households and for our nations. We have run out of time, huh?
Can we give 1 minute to Pauline? She had asked
yes,
earlier. Can
please,
we give her one
Pauline,
minute?
And, go
and
ahead.
Just for a quick note, Joe, there's no fun activity after this meeting, so you do have a few minutes. You can maybe go.
Good. Thank you.
Pauline, are you there?
Yeah, I see Pauline. Hi.
I did,
but I think she muted again.
Yeah, you have to slow down a little. There you go, Pauline. No, too much. Just one click. One click.
All right, Pauline, wait 1 second. I'm going to ask you to unmute, and then you should be unmuted.
Okay.
I'm unmuted. I'm sorry for being such a klutz. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Not using raise hand, not using the unmute. I apologize. Thank you for allowing me to share. I will be brief. And what I wanted to raise is not exactly about the global, though I am a non-Anglo-Saxon, as you can hear, and I don't live in an Anglo-Saxon country either, but it's about inclusiveness. And there's a mentioning, and it's important to add to the literature so it's more inclusive in many cases about race, ethnicity, and globality. I want to raise another dimension of inclusiveness, which is the other laundry list. It's mentioned in the book, it's listed in the book. But I would say that the vast majority of the text and the questions and the exercises are the first list. And I feel invisible. It doesn't apply to me and I struggle. And I guess there are more people like me. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Pauline. We'll put that in the chat. Thank you so much, Pauline. And also, we have to be aware of the digital divide as well. The people that are very familiar with technology, the people that are not, the people that don't have bandwidth to get on Zoom at all. And so this is part of being inclusive as we go global. And this is, once again, a long conversation that I'm glad we're able to start. It's a very difficult conversation. And so we have to keep those guardrails, those traditions, and the commitment to service first and foremost, so that we can stay unified, tradition one, as we go global. Alaska, I guess you'll finish our session. Go ahead, Alaska.
Thanks. I just wanted to say that what Marion said about doing service, I really do think that service is one of the roads to globalizing, inclusivity, I mean, all of those things, which, and that is, if you be the change that you want to see. You can, anybody, any member can join any committee on the WSO. You can join the committee to rewrite. There's going to be, I mean, so in this last ABC, they voted to do a 20th anniversary edition of the Big Red Book, which may be an entire rewriting of the Big Red Book. Anybody can be on that committee to write that book. So if you want to be in, if you want to see yourself, your community represented in any of the literature, just get on to that committee and it's there. So I always want to say that if you want more representation, then, you know, you can be that representation. And the more people see you, then the more people will come. Thank you.
Jill, if you have a chance, please check your chat box. I sent you a couple messages from people in the meeting.
All right. Thank you very much. We're right at perfect segue into talking about volunteering for service. The service in ACA is a recovery tool, and it strengthens your program. We help carry the message and make a difference in other ACA's life by signing up as a volunteer. There's many opportunities for service as the group and the intergroup and the regional levels. So I dropped it in the chat again, which is the different ways to sign up, which are these, the hyperlinks that are in the slide. ACA and World Service Global members. If you want to volunteer, you go to fill out our global volunteer form and we'll find out what languages you speak and where you're, which countries you're coming from, what tribes you're moving to. Then you can always email global members at adult children, but the volunteer form is faster. The ABC report for global members is here, but there are lots of other areas in World Service for which to volunteer, and that's at the acawso.org for under service. And just follow the prompts to complete the form, which will help you to direct you to the committee that best meets your area of interest, like IT or the policy and procedures or literature, all kinds of ways to be of service, because this is a tool of recovery. And so feel free to make those available to yourself. We'll continue this conversation. Then there's our seventh tradition, of course, which is that we're self-supporting. Make your contributions at the new seventh tradition page on our website. And it's a new, newly developed page for making contributions. I like to make monthly contributions or recurrent contributions so that I don't need to keep making a daily or weekly contribution. So it's very helpful to ACA also to make recurrent contributions, but include your inner group and your region as well. Let's see, the promises. Coming back to our youngest members, Sinyana, would you read the promises for us?
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you.
The promises. 1, we will discover our real identities by loving and accepting ourselves. 2, our self-esteem will increase as we give ourselves approval on a daily basis. 3, fear of authority figures and the need to people please will leave us. 4, our ability to share intimacy will grow inside us. 5, as we face our abandonment issues, we will be attracted by strengths and become more tolerant of weaknesses. 6, we will enjoy feeling stable, peaceful, and financially secure. 7, we will learn how to play and have fun in our lives. 8, we will choose to love people who can love and be responsible for themselves. 9, healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. 10, fears of failures and success will leave us as we intuitively make healthier choices. 11, With help from our ACA support group, we will slowly release our dysfunctional behaviors. 12, gradually with our higher power's help, we learn to expect the best and get it.
Thank you, thank you. And please copy the chat by clicking the three buttons and save the chat so that you can get all of those announcements about places to serve. But remember, this is about the fellowship. And so the place to serve is right in your own group as well as in the translations committee or the representation equity and accessibility committee. The places to serve are right in your own meeting. So it's safe to share about the things that are traumatizing you, that it's safe to say what's on your heart and your mind in your own meetings. So these are the announcements. Next will come Coming to Believe and Finding God, which will be in the green room. And then the WSO volunteer opportunities will be in the lavender room. All right. Thank you so much for your, in closing, we'll say thank you everyone who has shared today. Thank you, Sean, for being our technical host. Thank you for all of the panelists and for all the people who attended and have and contributed. This is a safe place to share what's on your heart and mind, and we'll continue this conversation on a monthly basis. And so watch for our announcements where we can come together and talk about what does it look like to go global in ACA. So would you join me in a moment of silence, followed by the ACA Serenity Prayer in whatever language or way that calls your heart. So we'll take a deep breath. Thank you all. God, grant me the serenity. To accept the people.
To accept the people.
The people.
I cannot change.
Courage to change.
Courage to change the one I can.
And the wisdom to know. Thank you all. This concludes our session, but not our conversation. So at this point, we don't have the the dance session. So feel free to get up and shake it off. Feel free to shake it off and keep coming back. We will have this conversation in a safe place.